Roni's Own Radio, the award-winning view and interview show. Our website is jrdonline.com. Our email is jeff.roni@gmail.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call us at 714-929-7857. We're on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. So stay connected to us and on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jeff Roni, and this is the Roni Zone, and I've invited a Lost fan, a brother in arms, somebody who understands about the Lost Island and who Mr. Friendly is and Ben and all the crazy people on that crazy island, Hurley. And how come Hurley doesn't lose weight walking all that way? I don't understand. It's amazing, this island. So I've invited Josh, the Josh Meister, on to the Roni Zone today. Hey, Josh, how are you?
Great. How's it going, Jeff?
Excellent. Excellent. Now, we'll kind of jump in here. Is how far into the pilot? Actually, did you start watching Lost at the pilot, or was it kind of later on and you kind of caught up?
My kind of story of how I got into Lost was I had a coworker who this is after the first season was over, and he had the first season on DVD, and he's like, you know, I really think you're gonna love this show, so I'm gonna let you borrow this DVD set. And normally I don't have friends do that kind of thing, and so I was like, oh, okay, sure, whatever, I'll give it a try. And I loved Lost so much. I mean, my wife and I sat down and we would watch like two or three episodes a night, as much as we possibly could fit into the day, because we would just get so hooked on the plot and wanted to know, oh my gosh, what's going to happen in the next episode. And that's how I really got into Lost, and that was during season two. And so I started downloading the first few episodes, the ones that I'd missed, on iTunes, and then started watching it live. And it quickly turned into this sort of thing where at the message boards at work, I would be posting my Lost analyses for my coworkers, who are also fans of Lost. And I thought, if I'm going to take all the time to write this stuff up, I might as well have a blog about it. And then after I started the blog, of course, I'm listening to other podcasts, the official podcast and Jay and Jack and some of the others. And I started thinking, if I'm going to blog about this, I might as well do an audio version too. And so that's kind of how my podcast initially started, was kind of an audio version of the blog.
Well, let's kind of hit a couple of things. You mentioned one thing that I do think is interesting, is that some shows the guy likes and some shows the lady likes, right? Lost is one of those rare things when I think the husband and the wife, or the guy and the girl, whoever, can sit down and watch at the same time. Do you find that that's kind of odd about a show?
I don't know. Maybe it's just because my wife and I kind of have similar taste, but there are very few shows that one of us watches that the other one doesn't.
Okay.
That's just us. I mean, certainly shows like, Dancing with the Stars, American Idol. Like, unless Steve Wozniak is dancing,
right.
I couldn't care less about those kind of shows, you know? So she watches those kind of things and I don't, but Yeah, other than that, we're pretty much into the same kind of shows. Lost is obviously by far, our favorite show. Other shows that we have really enjoyed, I didn't watch Jericho when it was on the air, but we just actually finished watching the whole series on Netflix streaming. And oh man, we love that show. I mean, there are a lot of shows like that we both really get into together, and that makes it a lot more fun when we both can kind of enjoy it and theorize about things, or just relax together like watching The Office or something.
Well, there's so many things I want to kind of jump to, but I want to kind of stick with Lost for just a little bit. It was funny because I saw the pilot, and I watched about, I think it was 15 minutes, and then that's when I drug my wife out. She was doing something, and said, "You've got to watch this." And she is a tough sell. I mean, a show has got to be really good. I tried to sell her on Battlestar Galactica, and that was that. it didn't go as well. But she watched that pilot and she goes, when's it on again? You know,
yeah.
So that kind of hooked me. What about the pilot just hooked you? Was the story, the effects? What about it?
Well, I've recently I've been participating in the Lost rewatch, and so I just recently watched the pilot episode again, and so I'm kind of trying to remember. I think probably the moment where I started going, "Wow, this might be a really interesting show," was when you first get this hint that there's this monster in the jungle. You know, the trees are all rustling around, and there's this big noise, and everyone's kind of looking out there, and they're like, "What was that?" You know, and that was the moment where, okay, this is not just going to be some stupid, you know, people surviving on an island. This is going to be a really interesting show.
This show, Lost, should never have succeeded. And I'll tell you why. It breaks this one rule of people are not going to watch a show week to week to follow a story that unfolds. They're never going to do it. They want a sitcom-like, you know, one episode that starts and ends on that week. What do you think? How do you think Lost has achieved this type of cult status, you know, just this massive phenomenon, breaking the rule and having this huge story that basically you got to start at the beginning to really kind of follow?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. I think probably one reason for that might be that there was a niche where there wasn't really any good mystery show on television that anybody could get into. I mean, Lost had so many things going for it right from the beginning. There were so many very smart things that they did, but I think in that context, kind of one of the reasons that it hooked people so quickly was because this is not just a standard drama, boring, you know, okay, here's a bunch of people and here's what happened to them. But because they threw in that mystery angle to it, I think that's what really attracted a lot of people to it. If it hadn't been for the mysterious, like, wow, what's going on? Like, this is really fascinating. It wasn't just a story of survival on an island. It was much more than that. And, of course, the good, you know, excellent character, cast of characters really contributed to that a lot. Shortly, you know, as the first season progressed, you know, I think it was episode 7 or somewhere around there, White Rabbit, where, you know, Jack starts seeing his father in the jungle, and we find out in that episode that his father is dead. He died in Australia. He shouldn't be on this island. Jack shouldn't be seeing him. And, you know, there's some things like that really just kind of, I think, for me anyway, those really drew me into the show. Wow, this is fascinating. You know, what's really going on here? What's at work?
I totally agree. I think the mystery element, I think the survival element, I think the us against them and Lord of the Flies and all those different types of things. But there is a deep romance going on. There is a deep romantic storyline with triangles and quadrangles and all these different things of, you know, who is, you know, Jack going to end up and who's Kate going to end up with and all these kind of things. And, you know, my wife, you know, she talks to the TV. I don't think it's a problem, but I'm just telling you, she talks to the TV. And, you know, she was talking loud at the finale, you know. Does your wife kind of get caught in the romance element as well?
You know, it's kind of funny. We always watch Lost together, and we don't really talk about it all that much.
Okay.
She usually goes to bed right away, and then I do my podcast, you know, like right after the show's over. And so I guess we don't really communicate too much about it. I mean, obviously she knows the plot very well. And in fact, sometimes at commercial breaks, that's usually kind of when we have the most of our conversation about what's going on. And a lot of times she has just these great insights. Wow. I hadn't even thought about that. So, I don't remember what the question was exactly.
Well, I was just talking about the romance element and, you know, if your wife kind of resonated with that, and, you know, that's okay. You know, she's kind of caught up in the whole story, and that's
really
perfectly
the whole
fine
story for her too, I think is, I mean, certainly, you know, the romance angle for me, I don't know. I'm probably like most, you know, typical, stereotypical guys that like the romance story is okay, and I you know, I don't have a problem with it, but it's not the thing that draws me into it. If this was just a romance, I couldn't care less about it.
I know. Well, I don't watch Grey's Anatomy, but my wife does. So anyway, leave it at that. You know, just a couple of things. You may see it a different way, but I don't like when Damon Lindelof will sit up there at Comic-Con and say it's not about time travel, and then it is.
Yeah.
And then when he says, I know not of the underground...
the underwater hatch.
That you speak of. You know, right. So I know he's kind of playing along, but it's like, you know, anyway, it's just, I just wanted to just say that to somebody.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I have similar feelings. When you're doing, especially when you're somebody who does like deep analyses of the show, mm-hmm. what's going on, you hang on every word that the executive producers and writers of the show, you know, say about Lost. There have certainly been an increasing number of instances where the producers promised something and then it didn't really happen that way. And time travel was probably one of the biggest ones where it, you know, and you start watching the episodes where they hint at maybe something like time travel. And, you know, as somebody who hangs on every word that they say, you're kind of thinking, well, no, you know, there's gotta be some alternative meaning here that I'm missing. They can't really be time travel. And then before long, they, you know, the executive producers come out and confirm that, yeah, that's really what's going on here. And not only that, but they also confuse the issue of time travel by having two or more different meanings of time travel.
Right. 'Cause
you've got Desmond's consciousness traveling back in time, and then you've got actual whole people traveling back in time. And it's just, you know, there's a lot of things that even don't even fit very well together, all on that are supposed to be, oh yeah, we all, you know, people who are watching this are just going to understand and they'll know what's going on. There have been so many people who have been confused by a lot of the deeper plot lines in Lost, particularly time travel, but it really doesn't help when not only do they promise, you know, that something's not going to happen and then it does, they kind of started out soft, I guess you could say, with into the time travel by doing the Desmond thing. And then mm-hmm. later, now it's just full blown. Everybody's traveling back in time.
Right.
It's hard to imagine for me that, you know, with a story as complex as this, where they had the most essential elements of the plot figured out before they even started the show, it's amazing to me that they did not know ahead of time, or at least were not willing to admit that early on, that time travel, for example, was going to be a part of the show. I do find it very frustrating whenever, you know, promises like that are not kept. And, so, and of course, there are certain other things where it's just, you know, certain things don't work out with actors' agreements and things like that. Like, they really wanted to do more of a Danielle backstory, and they kind of got the opportunity to do that in, you know, in season 5. But they, at the same time, well, was it season 5 or season 4? Gosh, I'm trying to remember now. I guess it was season 5 because they were doing all the flashes through time. Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where they were like, oh, you know, I guess we do kind of have the opportunity to go back and do the Danielle plot. But then there were certain discrepancies in the timeline and just other things that didn't quite make sense. Like Danielle, for example, in rewatching season 1, I noticed that Danielle says to Saeed the first time that they meet, I've never seen anyone else on this island. Hmm. And then in season 5, in the flashback, we see that, you know, young Danielle is staring right at Ben when he's taking Alex from her.
Right.
So, I mean, there's just a lot of things like that where, did the writers, did the producers know Lost as well as we do? Sometimes I wonder.
Yeah, I think there's been a number of situations where you know they could have took opportunities, you know, but then kind of Michael leaving and then kind of coming back and then you find out that there was kind of a disagreement and then you know these people wanted to do other things and that kind of a thing, Ana Lucia and Libby and. So it's and then we had that shortened year because the writer's strike. So, you know, you do wonder how much is padding, how much is critical to the story and how much is kind of extending it out to kind of fit a longer style. But you bring up great points is somebody who's going to watch it week to week, and not only watch it, but actually, you know, scrutinize and analyze it, you know, because it is a phenomenon. And I really do enjoy the layers of what they're trying to do. I think the characters are fantastic. They're the best looking, you know, bunch of people on a plane I've ever seen. I got to be honest, the most incredible stories and the most incredible people I've ever heard of. So, let's talk a bit of Endgame. I guess I'm trying to jump the gun here, but we do know quite a bit about the island now, and you know, we did learn quite a bit about the island past. That was one thing I said. I think I called into a Wayne Henderson show and I said, we're going to see Black Rock. We're going to see that. And so obviously in the final show. But what is your theory right now, this second? I won't hold you to it. But what's your theory about the island and the activities with the people?
Okay. Well, I guess, and of course, I'm assuming, of course, that everyone who's listening to this has already heard watched season five and is kind of caught up. But I really think that, you know, that what we saw in the opening scenes of the season five finale, it is really going to be central to the plot of season six, and it's really going to be central to the overall, you know, plot of the show. I think that explains a lot of what the island is. You know, not necessarily its origin exactly, but I think kind of Jacob and his enemy, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. I think those two people have been on the island. I mean, it seems clear from the flashback or whatever you want to call it at the beginning of the finale episode that they've been on the island for a long time. Right. They're in some sense kind of immortal beings. Mm-hmm. You know, apparently Jacob can be killed, but they're almost godlike in their, you know, the way that they talk about things that are going to happen. My theory basically is that, based on what we've seen, it appears as though you've got kind of a good and an evil, being who are kind of lords over the island, if you want to call it that. And so you've got these two different sides represented. There's light, which is Jacob. He's wearing white, you know, a white mm-hmm. robe. Mm-hmm. And you've got darkness, which of course is his enemy wearing black. And the dark side has a very negative view on humanity and kind of the basic nature of human beings. Mm-hmm. He when he's talking to Jacob, he talks about how this always happens. They come, they fight, you know, it always ends the same. And Jacob says, basically, in essence, it's not over till it's over.
Right.
You know, I'm going to prove you right, basically. You're not going to prove me wrong in this. And so it seems as though what Jacob is arguing is that humanity is basically good, and that, yeah, you know, of course, left to themselves, humans might become corrupt, but that's not always the way that it's going to be. Mm. And Jacob, I think, is holding out for maybe somebody like Rose and Bernard, who, you know, come to peace on the island. They don't want to be any part of the wars, and they just want to live in happiness, like they ultimately end up doing after they time travel back in time and kind of set up their own camp. And incidentally, I think that my current theory is that probably Rose and Bernard are the Adam and Eve from the caves in season one.
Wow. Hmm.
So I don't know if that exactly answers what.
I think you bring up some great points, and I agree with most of them. I think that the island is a proving ground, and I think mm-hmm. that groups of people have been pulled there over and over and over for however they were directed there, to basically show goodness by the choices that people make. And, you know, if you want to call it purgatory, call it purgatory, call it whatever you want. But I do see that, you know, the dark brother, whoever the dark influence person is, probably influence all the dark people in their lives. Jack and whoever and Locke and everybody. I mean, I think Locke's father was influenced by the, you know, the bad guy. And I think the good, you know, the good guy kind of was along the way as well. And I think, you know, if you want to look at it like God and the devil, so be it. If you want to look at it like a negative or positive, kind of influencing people along the way to come to this island to make good choices and to make the right choice. And if they make the wrong choice, you got to start over and you got to do it again. I mean, we've seen the black and white theme from the very beginning. So I think the interesting thing is that, you know, the bad guy can't kill, you know, the good guy. So he's got to get somebody else to do it. And
right.
And right there, I mean, you see, you know, biblical references or religious references all throughout. I think it's fascinating that a show like Lost is still on the air because there's so many people that get so upset if there's any religious mention of any type on any show. But you've had people praying and talking about this and all this kind of stuff. And I find Lost fascinating because so many people from so many different backgrounds that either have a religious belief or not can watch the same show and I think enjoy it. And just along the way, some people look at certain things and go, oh, that reminds me of something that I read or something that I believe and all this. I mean, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, certainly. There are a lot of religions and really philosophies that are represented on the show. I mean, so many different ones that it's almost hard to kind of keep track of them all. Lostpedia has an article about like religions and philosophies. I can't remember the exact name of the article, but it's amazing. You've got, of course, you know, the ones that are probably most obvious to us as, you know, Americans where Christianity is popular. Mm-hmm. You know, we obviously see people like Rose and she's a religious person. She prays. She helps Charlie, you know, to be comforted in the first season by directing him to pray. And you've got, of course, you know, Catholicism, a specific branch of Christianity represented with Mr. Echo and kind of his backstory. And, of course, Charlie and Claire and Aaron are all, you know, kind of related to that. And then you've also got Islam represented too through Saeed, which is really interesting. On more than one occasion on the show, they've shown him praying. They've even shown him praying in a mosque in season one. It's also kind of interesting too to look at, you know, these people who are supposedly religious people and some of the things that they do that are totally against their religion. Mm-hmm. Like they sort of imply that Saeed goes off and has a special adventure with Shannon on some other beach, right, you know, during the same period of time where Boone is dying. And, you know, obviously, you know, premarital sex is not something that is acceptable in Islam. Mm-hmm. And yet at other times, Saeed is very much, you know, like right on with his religion. He tells Jack, you know, in the first, I think it was episode 4 of the first season where he's talking to Jack and says, you can't burn the fuselage with all the bodies inside because you know, that's completely disregarding people's religions and kind of moral preferences and things like that. And he goes, well, they're dead. We don't have time to sort all that out. But of course that is, you know, cremation is something that is not permissible generally in Islam. Mm. And so there you've got another example of him kind of living his religion. But it's so fascinating. And then there's other, you know, kind of aspects of philosophy and religion. You've got like the Dharma logos, so the I Ching, representation, the trigrams. Mm. There's so much you could look into as far as all the different religions and philosophies that are covered in the show. It's amazing. And they don't begin to touch on every world religion, but the ones that they do touch on, it's really fascinating how they sort of bring those things into the story without really shoving religion down the throats of the people watching the show. You know, there are a lot of atheists and agnostics who watch the show who are completely enthralled by the show, huge fans of it. So,
Well, I just, you know, the one thing that, I really kind of took away with is how interconnected we are. It's probably the lottery calling me. how interconnected we are on this planet. And even though we're different, there is a connection. We need to come together. We need to help each other out. We need to care for each other. Otherwise, we're going to die. And I think that alone is, and just how an airplane full of people, I mean, just consider that we've all flown on a plane.
Sure.
What if we were stuck with that group of people? What would that be like? You know, I mean, what, mm-hmm. you know, and so, I mean, just that thought alone is kind of interesting. You know, how would you care for these people? You know, they probably bug you in the line, or they probably cut in front of you. You know, would you carry that forward? You know, what's your story? This and that. But, you know, maybe that's my kumbaya moment, but that's the one thing I really kept thinking about is, you know, we're all connected, and sometimes what we did in the past definitely reverberates forward. And so it's, mm-hmm. you know, something to consider, in your life. But, you know, Lost definitely isn't, you know, just another throwaway sitcom. I think it's definitely a lot deeper, and I'm sorry to see it go, but I definitely am glad it's not going to last way past its time. So,
right. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, there's one season left, and I think my wife is actually really excited that there's not much left of the show because of all the time that I put into blogging and podcasting about Lost. It seems, you know, it's very frustrating for her sometimes. She's like, I want to, you know, I don't want you staying up late doing that. You could be getting more sleep at night. And I'm like, yeah, I know, I should be, but I just love this show. You know, mm-hmm. it's hard to put it down. And I guess, you know, not long after season six, I'm sure most of us will probably move on. I'm sure there will probably be a couple of blogs and podcasts that will continue to rewatch Lost every year and, you know, try to find every little detail that might have been missed before. But yeah, it's certainly fun. I don't know if there's ever going to be another show quite like this. I've already, you know, told my wife, okay, after Lost, I'm not doing a podcast about any more TV shows ever. I'm not dedicating a blog to any other show. You know, partly because obviously it takes a lot of time to really dedicate yourself to doing that, but also, you know, just because I can't imagine there ever being another show that really captures me the same way that Lost does. And there have been a lot of shows, you know, I mentioned Jericho. That was an excellent television show. Unfortunately, it didn't last very long. But, you know, I mean, there are a lot of great shows on TV, but I can't see myself ever doing this again for any other show.
I think there's a lot of people that agree with you. But yeah, I think, you know, the one thing in my 40-something years on this planet that I've learned is you are listening to Roni's Own Radio. We're going to stop right there with our great interview with Josh talking about Lost and all kinds of cool stuff. So be with us next week, and we will continue our discussion with Josh, the Josh Meister, on Roni's Own Radio. Everything costs money, and we want to offer this to you. It's a support page, support.roniezone.com. There's two ways that we would ask that you would help support us. One is just a PayPal link, and you can donate any amount you'd like through PayPal. The other way is to buy products from our other links to affiliates that we offer on that page as well. We really appreciate it. Everything costs money, and we want to continue to keep these shows free, so we offer this to you. Please visit our support.roniezone.com page to help support us. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. Here's just a quick reminder that if you want to continue to get these Roni's Own Radio shows directly sent to either your Google Reader or your iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, please visit subscribe.roniezone.com, and it's going to give you links and instructions of how to get subscribed and get connected to us so we can send you shows automatically. Thanks so much. There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Podcasting. It's the Red Boy Podcast.
You know what you're talking about.
We're all morons in the world.
That's okay. Hey, it's a sign from God.
Like we mean it.
We are here. Amy, how are you, my love? Nice to see you again.
Blah, blah, blah.
Podcast.
Like we mean it.
His name is
Red Boy.
It's the Red Boy Podcast.
From the cornfields.
Featuring the best part of the show.
Podcasting like they mean it.
Your window onto the boulevard of the cornfields of central Illinois. That's right. It's the Red Boy Podcast featuring Absolute Amy.
Elite Beat Agents, Swap Tree, Night Rider, Audiobooks, Six Zombie Kids in the Middle of the Night, Ocarinas, Exoforce, USB Bracelets, Balticon, Stranger Things, Cats on Vacation, Pokemon, Disney World Laser Battle, Album Art, Mopod, Tin Man, and if you think that's geeky, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm Doug Rapson, and if you give me 15 minutes a week, I'll give you a pat on the head, a shot of geek in the arm, and a thought or two from your fellow netizens. Geek Acres, the podcast. It's more fun than a clone vampire superhero dual-wielding lightsaber nunchucks, because, you know, lightsabers equals cool. Nunchucks equals cool. Lightsaber nunchucks? Unbelievable. Check it out weekly at geekacres.net or set it and forget it by searching Geek Acres in iTunes.
Since March 2007, one online audio production group has pushed the boundaries.
Broken Sea Audio Productions presents Maudlin.
It's sounding boring. Audio drama with Lumpy Bits.
You have been listening to Jake Sanson.
Broken Sea Audio Productions presents
My name is Feedback, and these are my stories.
Last time on Gaia's Voyages.
This is the Broken Sea Audio production of Escape from New York.
OTR Swag Cast.
Doctor Who. Starring Mark Kalita as the Doctor.
BrokenSea.com. New audio every Thursday.
Thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com. Roni's Own Radio is a proud member of the Christian New Media Group. You can find more information at cnmg.ronizone.com. And drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.